Chapter 21. The Flight.
Invisible and free!
Margarita flew noiselessly, floating past the dazzlingly lit tubes on the corner theatre and into a side street with several tall buildings. Her attention was drawn to the luxurious bulk of an apparently brand new 8-story building at the end of the street. Margarita descended and upon landing, saw that the front of the building was finished in black marble, that a doorman's jacket buttons and gold-trimmed service cap were glittering beyond the broad glass doors, and that above them a golden inscription read, "Dramlit House." Tucking the broom under her arm, she entered the foyer, bumping the surprised doorman with the door, and saw an enormous black board on the wall next to the elevator. The tenants' names and apartment numbers were inscribed on it in white letters. The words, "Residence for Dramatists and Literary Workers," above the list, caused Margarita to let out a savage, choked howl. Rising in the air, she read the names hungrily. Hustov, Dvubratsky, Quant, Beskudnikov, Latunsky.
Latunsky!
Margarita screamed.
Latunsky! It's him! He ruined the master!
By the entrance, the doorman was practically jumping with amazement as he gazed at the black board and tried to comprehend the miracle. Why the list of tenants was screaming. As for Margarita, she was already hurrying upstairs, repeating to herself,
Latunsky, 84, Latunsky,
84. Here's the sign. Oh, Latunsky. Margarita rang once, rang again. No one answered. Margarita flew downstairs at full speed and burst out onto the street. Looking up, she inspected and counted the windows outside, determining which belonged to Latunsky's apartment. Convinced, Margarita rose in the air and several seconds later entered the unlit apartment through an open window. They say that, to this very day, the critic Latunsky grows pale when he recalls that terrible night. Margarita returned from the kitchen with a heavy hammer in her hands. Taking careful aim, Margarita struck the keys of the piano. Innocent of any crime, the Becker instrument cried out in frenzied agony. Its keys fell in, the ivory plating flying in all directions. With the sound of a pistol shot, the polished upper sounding board split from a hammer blow. The menacing sound of rushing water came from the bathroom and the kitchen. A stream was already running from the kitchen into the hall. Splashing her bare feet in the water, Margarita brought buckets of it from the kitchen to the critic's study and poured them into the desk drawers. After breaking the cabinet doors, she dashed to the bedroom. Smashing the mirrored wardrobe, she pulled out the critic's suit and drowned it in the bathtub. Meanwhile, in apartment number 82, directly below Latunsky, the dramatist Quant's housekeeper was drinking tea in the kitchen, wondering at all the rumbling, running and ringing coming from above. Finally, water began to rain from the ceiling and drum on the floor. Shrieking, Quant's housekeeper ran out onto the staircase, and Latunsky's apartment immediately filled with ringing.
"Open up! Open up! Is your water leaking or something? We're flooded!"
Margarita drifted through the window, and once outside, took a light swing and struck the windowpane with the hammer. A cascade of shards ran down the building's black marble. Finishing off Latunsky's windows, Margarita moved on to the neighbouring apartment. The entire street filled with ringing and crashing. The doorman ran outside, looked up, then placed his whistle in his mouth and began to whistle furiously. His efforts, combined with the infuriated Margarita's own, produced significant results. Panic spread throughout the building. Dark silhouettes appeared in the bright windows of adjoining buildings as people tried to understand why the new dram-lit house windowpanes were bursting of their own accord. Then, suddenly, the savage destruction ceased. Slipping down to the third floor, Margarita looked into the corner window, covered by a thin, dark blind. Inside, a weak light burned under a shade. A boy of about 4 years of age was sitting on a small bed and listening in fear. There were no adults in the room. Evidently, they had all run out of the apartment.
"Windows are breaking," the boy said, and called out, "Mummy, I'm afraid."
Margarita opened the curtain and flew in the window. "Don't be afraid, little one," Margarita said. "That was just some boys breaking the windows." The boy looked round slyly and asked, "But where are you, lady?" "I'm not here," Margarita replied. "I'm in your dream. Now lie down, put your hand under your cheek, and you'll keep dreaming of me."
"All right," the boy agreed, and immediately lay down with his hand under his cheek. Margarita put the hammer down quietly on the windowsill and flew out of the window. Mayhem reigned outside the building. People ran screaming around the asphalt pavement, littered with glass shards. But the rest did not concern Margarita. She grasped her broom tighter and instantly rose high above the ill-fated building. The street beneath her tilted sideways and dropped away, and Margarita found herself flying alone next to the moon, above and to her left. Seeing two broken rows of light beneath her merge into two unbroken fiery lines, seeing how quickly they disappeared behind her, Margarita guessed that she was travelling at tremendous speed. Several seconds later, a new lake of electric light lit up far below in the dark mass of land and rolled under the flyer's feet, only to launch into a corkscrew spin and fall back into the earth. A few seconds later, a repeat of the same. "Cities!" Margarita shouted. It occurred to Margarita that, come to think of it, she did not need to spur on her broom at such a desperate pace, and that she was depriving herself of the opportunity to get a better look at everything. Margarita tilted the bristled end of the broom down, raising its tail end, and lowering her speed greatly, headed down to earth. All the mysteries and charms of a moonlit night took form in the previously shapeless black mass. Margarita flew just above the fogs of a dewy meadow and then over a pond. A chorus of frogs sang below, and the sound of a train somewhere in the distance put a strange quiver into her heart. The low noise of separating air came from behind and began to catch up with Margarita, the sound of some sort of flying projectile. It was gradually joined by a woman's laughter, audible over many miles. Margarita glanced behind her and saw a complex dark object chasing her. It became clearer as it approached, revealing a flying rider of some sort. Finally, it was perfectly visible. Slowing down, Natasha pulled alongside Margarita. Completely naked, she was flying on a large hog. The hog was clutching a briefcase in his front hooves and hammering the air furiously with his hind legs. A pince-nez had fallen from the hog's nose and flew next to him, attached by a cord, glittering occasionally in the moonlight. The hog's hat kept slipping down over his eyes. Looking closer, Margarita recognized Nikolai Ivanovich, and her laughter thundered over the forest, joining Natasha's own.
"Natashka!" Margarita screamed. "You used the cream!"
"Darling," Natasha replied. "I smeared it on him too, right on his bald head."
Flying next to Margarita, Natasha laughingly related what took place in the mansion after Margarita Nikolaevna flew over the gate. She admitted that without touching any of her presents, she threw off her clothes, ran to the cream, and rubbed it immediately on herself. The same thing that had happened to her mistress happened to her. While Natasha was laughing with joy and admiring her magical beauty in front of the mirror, the door opened, and a very agitated Nikolai Ivanovich appeared before her.
He was holding Margarita's shirt in his hands, as well as his own hat and briefcase.
"Oh, the things he said, the scoundrel!" Natasha screamed, laughing. "The things he tried to entice me to! The money he promised!" "What? Am I lying?"
Natasha yelled at the hog, and the latter could only turn away his snout in embarrassment. Natasha got carried away in the bedroom, smeared some cream on Nikolai Ivanovich, and was amazed. The respectable tenant's face fused into a pig's snout, and his hands and feet turned to hooves. Glancing at himself in the mirror, Nikolai Ivanovich let out a desperate and savage howl. But it was too late. Several seconds later, he was mounted and flown out of Moscow to hell knows where, wailing in anguish.
"I demand that my natural appearance be restored to me,"
the hog grunted hoarsely all of a sudden.
"I have no intention of flying to an illegal gathering. Margarita Nikolaevna, you must rein in your housekeeper."
"Oh, so now I'm a housekeeper to you," Natasha cried, pinching the hog's ear. "And I used to be a goddess. What did you call me?"
"Venus,"
the hog replied.
"Venus," Natasha cried victoriously. "Margarita, my queen, ask them if I can stay a witch. They'll do anything for you. You've been granted power."
And Margarita replied, "Very well, I promise."
"Thank you," Natasha shouted. "Hey, hey, faster!"
She dug her heels into the hog's sides, and he tore through the air, ripping it open. A moment later, Natasha was a black dot ahead on the horizon, and then she disappeared entirely. Margarita sensed she was approaching water and guessed that her goal was near. The pines parted, and Margarita glided quietly through the air towards a chalk cliff. A river lay below it in the shadows. Beneath a solitary group of branchy trees on the other side, the flickering light of a bonfire revealed small moving figures. Margarita slid off the cliff and quickly reached the water below. The river beckoned her after her dash through the air. Throwing away the broom, she dived headfirst into the water. Her light body pierced the river like an arrow. The water turned out to be warm, like in a bathhouse. Emerging from the deep, Margarita ran out onto the shore. Her body was glowing after her bath. Suddenly, a fat man climbed out of some broom bushes, naked except for the silk-black top hat on the back of his head. Judging by his huffs and hiccups, he was considerably drunk. Seeing Margarita, the fat man bellowed joyously.
"Claudine, the merry widow, is it you? You are here too?"
Margarita took a step back and replied with dignity,
"Go to hell!"
"Kindly forgive me, dazzling Queen Margot. I made a mistake. It's all this accursed cognac's fault."
The fat man fell on one knee, held aside his top hat, and bowed.
"You ought to put some pants on, you son of a bitch,"
Margarita said, softening. Seeing that Margarita was not angry, the fat man grinned happily and then informed her enthusiastically that he only lacked pants because he had absent-mindedly left them on the Yenisei River, where he had been swimming previously. Fortunately, as it happened to be nearby, he would fly there right away. Then he began to back away and continued to do so until he slipped and fell backwards into the water. But even as he fell, a smile of ecstatic devotion remained on his sideburn-framed face. As for Margarita, she gave a piercing whistle and, mounting her approaching broom, flew over the river to the opposite bank. As soon as Margarita touched down on the moist grass, the music under the willows grew louder and the column of sparks flew up merrily from the bonfire. Under the willow branches sat two rows of fat-headed frogs. Inflating, as if made of rubber, they were playing a flashy march on wooden pipes. The march was in Margarita's honour. Transparent mermaids paused their round dance over the river and waved weeds at Margarita. Leaping from behind the willows, nude witches formed a line and began to curtsy and bow. Some goat-legged fellow flew up to her and kissed her hand. Spreading out silk on the grass, he inquired as to whether the queen had had a good swim and invited her to lie down and rest. Margarita did just that. The goat-legged man brought her a glass of champagne, which she drank, warming her heart instantly. Inquiring as to the whereabouts of Natasha, she was told that Natasha had already bathed and departed for Moscow on her hog, to let everyone know of Margarita's impending arrival and assist in preparing her attire. Everyone began to get ready. The mermaids finished their dance in the moonlight and dissolved in it. The goat-legged man inquired politely how Margarita had made it to the river. Discovering that she had ridden here on a broom, he said, "Why, that is so inconvenient." He instantly fashioned a dubious-looking telephone from two twigs and demanded that someone send a car this minute. His order was carried out, literally, right that minute. An open brown car came crashing down on the island, and it was no ordinary chauffeur in the driver's seat, but a black, long-beaked rook wearing an oilcloth cap and gauntlets. The goat-legged creature helped Margarita into the broad back seat. The car whined, jumped, and rose almost to the moon. The island vanished, the river vanished, and Margarita went racing off to Moscow.